Well, good morning, everyone. So welcome to the Daily Inspirations, and this is Jonathan again. So today we want to look at chapter 4 of Ephesians. We have been going through the chapters of Ephesians, and as you know, there's just not near enough time to cover a whole chapter as rich as these chapters are in Ephesians. But we're going to just go through quickly and pick up some of the strong points. So in yesterday's chapter 3, yesterday, we looked at the church. Mainly we looked at the sufficiency of Jesus as our ultimate sacrifice and how through his sacrifice and the Holy Spirit, are completely sufficient for the Christian life. And he talks about that, and then he finishes up with kind of a blessing in chapter 3 there. And then starting in chapter 4, I'm going to read down through it first. So starting in chapter 4, he says, "I, therefore, a prisoner for the Lord." And of course, you might know that when the Apostle Paul or most anyone in Scripture said therefore, he's referring to because of what he just said. So he says, "I therefore, because of Christ and the sufficiency of Christ and what he has done for us, I therefore, a prisoner for the Lord, urge you to walk in a manner worthy of the calling to which you have been called, with all humility and gentleness, with patience, bearing with one another in love, eager to maintain the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. There is one body and one Spirit, just as you were called to the one hope that belongs to your call, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is over all and through all and in all. But grace was given to each one of us according to the measure of Christ's gift. Therefore, it says, when he ascended on high, he led a host of captives, and he gave gifts to men." Now, verse 9 and 10 are kind of a parenthesis here. In saying he ascended, what does it mean but that he also descended into the lower parts of the earth? He who descended is the one who also ascended far above all the heavens, that he might fill all things. Okay, then verse 11, "And he gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the pastors, and teachers to equip the saints for the work of ministry, for building up the body of Christ." Of course, and we know from the last couple chapters, especially the last two, that he talked about the church as the body of Christ and a building. Christ is the cornerstone. So he equips the saints with different gifts for building up the body of Christ. In verse 13, "until we all attain to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to mature manhood, for the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, so that we may no longer be children, tossed to and fro by the waves and carried about by every wind of doctrine, by human cunning, by craftiness in deceitful schemes. Rather, speaking the truth in love, we are to grow up in every way into him who is the head, into Christ, from whom the whole body, joined and held together by every joint with which is equipped, when each part is working properly, makes the body grow so that it builds itself up in love. Now this I say and testify in the Lord, that you must no longer walk as the Gentiles do in the futility of their minds. They are darkened in their understanding, alienated from the life of God because of the ignorance that is in them due to their hardness of heart. They have become callous and have given themselves up to sensuality, greedy to practice every kind of impurity. But that is not the way you learned Christ, assuming that you have heard about him and were taught in him, as the truth is in Jesus, to put off your old self, which belongs to your former manner of life and is corrupt through deceitful desires, and to be renewed in the spirit of your minds, and to put on the new self, created after the likeness of God in true righteousness and holiness. Therefore, having put away falsehood, let each one of you speak the truth with his neighbor, for we are members one of another. Be angry and do not sin. Do not let the sun go down on your anger, and give no opportunity to the devil. Let the thief no longer steal, but rather let him labor, doing honest work with his hands, so that he may have something to share with anyone in need. Let no corrupting talk come out of your mouths, but only such as is good for building up, as fits the occasion, that it may give grace to those who hear. And do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, by whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and slander be put away from you, along with all malice. Be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another as God in Christ forgave you. Okay, so that's the chapter. So he starts out, first number of verses, he's talking about because of Christ and sufficiency that he was talking about in the previous chapter. Now he's addressing who we should be. Because Christ gives us everything we need to live the Christian life, now we should live properly as he wants us to live. In verse 2 here, in verse 1 he talks about worthy of the calling by which we've been called. So we need to be worthy of that calling. And then he goes on telling us how to do that with all humility, gentleness, with patience, bearing with one another in love. So we certainly can't be selfish people. Eager to maintain the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. He talks about, again, he talks about us being one. There's one body, there's one Spirit, one hope of our calling. One Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father who's over everything. And so we're all, as we serve Christ, we're all part of that same body that works together. And so then he talks a little bit about Christ and the gifts he gives to men. And these gifts are for our benefit, for us to use within the body, within the church, and within our lives to reach more people and to share the good news of the gospel with others. And he talks about the apostles, the prophets, evangelists, the pastors, and teachers. And so we all have a calling, little different personalities, but God wants all of us to be busy using our gifts that he's given us until we attain the unity of faith and the knowledge of the Son of God. And also in verse 14, so that we won't be tossed about as children, but it matures us. We won't be tossed around with every wind of doctrine or by human cunning and deceitful schemes and craftiness. But as we make use of the gifts that God has put in the body, it builds us up, it edifies us, and it matures us so that we are not tossed about with all these things. Down in verse 17 then, he talks about practical ways in our minds that we should be, we should think. He talks about we should no longer walk as the Gentiles do, or we could say the ungodly. Obviously, many of us are Gentiles, but I think he means the ungodly. The futility of their minds, their darkened minds, they're alienated from God due to their hardness of heart. Talks about them being calloused, given over to all kinds of sensuality and greediness. But then in verse 20, he says, that is not the way you learned Christ. So we have learned through Christ and his Holy Spirit better ways, the way God wants us to live. And so then down... he talks about being renewed in our minds and our spirit, and I think there is kind of the key verse 22, he says, put off your old self, which belongs to your former manner of life, which is corrupt through deceitful desires, and to be renewed in the spirit of your minds, and put on the new self created after the likeness of God in true righteousness and holiness. That's a gift that God gives us. That's not something we can invent ourselves. As we serve God, he gives us those new mind. Then in verse 25 and on down, he gives some more practical things in how we should live. Putting away falsehood, speaking truth with our neighbors. Don't let our anger cause us to sin. Don't let the sun go down on our anger. Don't give the devil an opportunity. And speaks against stealing, of course, and laboring honestly with our hands. Talks about our speech, no corrupt speech, everything that's building up. And he ends up this chapter by saying, put away all those things, but be kind to one another, tenderhearted and forgiving, as God has forgiven us. So what a blessing today to remember that because of the sufficiency of Jesus, we can live victorious lives with God.